morning.
To all of you. It has been suggested that I make participation in the worship a little easier on some of you. So I'm going to try this today, and hopefully by next week I'll have these questions and so forth in the bulletin for you to look at. But I like to see how good your memory is. As you know, we are discussing the uniqueness of the church. And so here's what I would like for you to take away from the lesson today. Number one, I would like for you to recognize the text of the book of Ephesians. Number two, as we go into the second chapter, and in just a few moments, Blaine will read for us the second chapter, verses 1 through 13. And I want you to answer the following questions. Who was it that Paul described as being dead? And they were dead in what? I see some of you writing, so I'll give you a minute. Number three. What has God withheld from me that I deserve? And the next question, what has He given me that I don't deserve? If I'm in the church, where am I? And three things I cannot have outside the church. And finally, what was the wall that the Lord tore down? Now, some of you said we didn't get the first one written down. That is the problem in preaching. Y'all think too slow.
Oh, that's not nice. That's not nice.
I say that to tell you this. As I said, I'll try to do a better job of having this printed up in the bulletin for you next week. But see how many of those you remember, how many of those you can answer, and see if that helps you in understanding a little bit more what we're talking about. For the past several weeks, we've been talking about the unique nature of the church. Many people are confused about the nature of the church, its importance, what it's all about. The lesson that we're going to look at today builds upon the uniqueness of the church that Jesus purchased with His own blood. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, Paul tells us that as many of us have been baptized into Christ, when you come into Christ, you come there by being baptized. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul will tell us that by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now that body, we're told, in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, is the church. So when you are baptized into Christ, just as happened on the day of Pentecost, when Peter had preached to those on that day, recorded in Acts chapter 2, and they had heard and believed and turned from their sins, they said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." And those that were baptized that day, the Lord says, were added to the church. And every day after that, those that were being saved were added to the body of Christ. So, when people tell me they love God, they love Jesus, but they're not too fond of the church, what they're telling me is that they want to divide Christ from His body. We used to spend a lot of time on this. The head and the body. You can't separate those two without death. Those that are saved are in the body. Now with that in mind, let's begin our reading, and we will discuss verses 1 through 13 of this book, Ephesians chapter 2.
And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
When we started this study of the book of Ephesians, I told you that in the third chapter, we find this statement made by the great apostle Paul, where he declares, "Glory be to God in Christ through the church." The glory that God is to receive is to be through his family, through his body, the church that he purchased with his own blood, Acts chapter 20. So when we speak of the church, we're speaking of that blood-bought institution. We have noticed in the first chapter that there is something special about coming out of the world and coming to Christ. Now as we begin the second chapter, notice what Paul tells us. God has taken people who were once dead. Think about that. Who is it that God is talking about that were dead? Well, he will go on to tell us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And Paul paints a picture. Everyone who is outside of Christ is without hope. He's without God, and he is an alien to the fellowship or the commonwealth of God. How do I get from being separated from God, dead in my trespasses and sins, to being in fellowship with God, to being alive? Now, we're dead in sin. That means we're separated from God, just as the Bible tells us. When the devil spoke with Eve, and he wanted to know, what has God told you? She said, he told us that in the day that we eat of this fruit, we shall surely die. Do you remember what happened?
Yeah.
The Lord came to see them that day, to walk with them as he had before, and they had hidden themselves because they knew now they were separated from God. And God wanted to know, what have you done? They had transgressed the will of God. They had sinned. Death is a separation. Physical death is a separation of the spirit from the body. But spiritual death is the separation of man from God. And God tells us through the writings of Paul that those of us who were dead in trespasses and sin, God be thanked. Are you thankful today?
Of course I am. Yes.
That you've heard of God? That you've heard of Jesus? I wonder how many people today are really thankful for the church. Two things the Lord did for us that are only possible because of the church. The first one is something He withheld from me. Because of my sins and my iniquities. Paul goes on to say in this text of Ephesians chapter 2, that all of us were separated from God. We all had our conversation in the world. We were all sinners. We were all in rebellion against God. But God said, because I love you, I will be rich in mercy. You know, if that's all I had from God was mercy, that'd be a lot. Because what I deserve is this. The Bible describes a place called hell. A place where the wicked will go. A place that the Bible says the worm is not quenched and the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. A place of suffering and agony for eternity, forever. But God said, because I love you, I'm going to make it so you don't have to spend eternity in hell. That within itself would be a great accomplishment, wouldn't it? Just to escape the agony, the suffering, forever. But then He says, He's not done. I hope all of you remember being children. And I hope that sometimes your children or your parents practiced a little mercy. How many of you ever remember being disobedient to a parent? And you knew what the consequences were supposed to be. Now, some of you may remember this. I have a hard time remembering this ever happened. But some parents would say to a child, here's what you deserve. Now, parents, some people don't get it. You ever had a child that was grounded for life? You're just grounded for life. Wow. You know how long that lasts? Until mama and daddy can't stand it anymore. But sometimes we make unrealistic threats, don't we? I'm going to do this to you if you do this. But if parents are good parents, there will come circumstances where a parent will say to a child, you know you've done this and you've done wrong. Yes. Here is what the consequence is. Yes. But because I want to show you that I can be merciful, I'm not going to do or punish you this time. Reminds me of, and this happened, a little boy was sitting with his mother one day about halfway back in the auditorium, and he was acting up, wouldn't be quiet. So finally she jerked him up, made her way to the middle aisle. And just as they got to the middle aisle, the little boy looked up and yelled in his loudest voice so everyone could hear him, Mama, don't whip me this time. And if I do it again, just beat me to death. He wanted mercy. And he was promising better behavior. Sometimes do we get better behavior by mercy? God has been merciful. He has sent His own Son to die in my stead. So that I do not have to spend eternity in hell. Which is my just reward. For the soul that sinneth it shall die. Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 18 verse 4. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 3, 23, Romans 6, 23. But God, with His rich mercy, sent Jesus to die on a cross. so that those of us who were dead in our trespasses and sins could be quickened. Think about it. Here's the picture. Here is a dead, lifeless figure. But the Lord says, you can come to life. You can live again. Because through the blood of Christ, the contact of the blood of Christ is powerful. It makes dead people alive. Thank God. But then he says, though we once were dead in our trespasses and sins, and now we've been made alive, he's not done. He is rich in his grace to us, his loving kindness. What does that mean? The best definition I've ever heard of grace is this. Grace is where God gives me what I don't deserve. He withheld from me eternal punishment. But now he is willing to give to me something I cannot buy, something I cannot earn. Listen to what Paul says. When he begins to tell us, you can't work your way to heaven. You ever seen people who try? Oh, I'm going to be good. Like the little boy, Mama, I won't ever do it again. That'll last about 5 minutes, won't it? Think about us. How many times have you ever promised God, God, I'm going to do better. God, I'll never do that again. God, that word will never cross my lips again. I'll never have those thoughts again. How many times have we promised God things that we were destined to fail at? But here's what he says. You can go to heaven. Why? Because I deserve it? No. Because God is great. And God is good. And the blood of Christ is all sufficient. And by his blood, as we saw last week, he has taken us when we have been baptized. He has deposited us in the church. In that envelope. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise to keep us until the day that he shall come again. Grace. Be careful, he says. Don't any of you ever boast. Lord, I'm so good. You remember the two men that Jesus described? Both were praying. One was a publican. One was a Pharisee. The publican would not even so much as look up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But the other man stood up and said, Lord, I sure am glad I'm not like that fellow. Look at me. I am your servant. And if you don't know it, Lord, you're very lucky to have me. You ever seen people that act that way? That carry themselves as if they're just better than everybody else. Listen to what Paul said. We're saved by grace. Not of works. You can't work your way to heaven. There's not enough you can do to get there. Lest any man should boast. You ever known people who would like to think that they can walk up to the judgment throne and say, Lord, here's my list. Here's what I've done. And because of all of these things that I've done, and you know I've done them, I'm going to go to heaven. He said, no, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the free gift of God. Now listen to him. And now that you have been the recipient of the free gift of God, his mercy and his grace, then he says, you are now a new creature. Created in Christ Jesus unto what, Paul? unto good works. You do good because you are good. Have you ever told your children that? Did your parents ever tell you this? Don't you embarrass me. You ever been told that? My mother learned real quick. That was the wrong thing to say to me. Now we're going over here and we're going to have lunch with these people and you're not going to embarrass me. Right? I didn't even know what that meant. I was only 15. But think about what he's telling us. You are the recipient of everything that is good and precious. You're a child of the King. Now act like it. Act like it. Why? Because this is our reasonable service. As we talked about a few weeks ago, this idea that it's hard to go to heaven. Lord, it's so hard to live right. Think about what we've just said. Is God good? Is he full of tender mercy? Is his grace all sufficient? Was Jesus an all-sufficient Savior and sacrifice at Calvary? Yes. Did the Holy Spirit give to us a word that we can read and study and know his will for our lives? Yes. Have there been men and women through the ages who have stood up for the Lord and walked righteously in his steps? Yes. And as I have said before, there are some of us who have blessings beyond our ability to count. Because we had grandparents. We had relatives. We had parents who walked with God. And for us to miss heaven would be a tragedy because we have known the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. But notice he says, all of these blessings are in the heavenly. And the heavenly, as we saw earlier in this study, is the church. The church is God's gift to man. It came down from above. It was purchased with his own blood. It is the place where we are placed and kept until we make that final journey from here to our final abode in the world to come. Thank God that the church is here today. Because without it, man could not hear the marvelous story of the mercy of God. It could not hear the marvelous story of the grace that was shed abroad at Calvary. Men could not hear of the horror of sin, the goodness and the blessings of repentance and obedience to God. Thank God that the church is here today to sound a word to lost men everywhere. If you're here today and you're not a member of the church, God's never put you in that envelope. He's never taken your sins and washed them far away. He's never given you life again and made you a new creature. We encourage you today with faith in your heart that God is good, full of tender mercy, able to forgive, to heal, and to cleanse. That you come in obedience to his call to be a child of the King. But if you're a child of the King and you have walked away from him, you've forgotten his true goodness, his greatness. You've been indifferent to your walk with him in the church. Don't be like those who are aliens from God. Don't be like those who have no hope. They're lost, undone. But lay hold of his hand and sing every day, hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's stand together.